So let's begin. We're starting a new series today, and we've got about 20 minutes, which is probably good for opening up here. And I'm curious, first of all, about whether decision-making is difficult for you, or you find it difficult, or you know of others that find it difficult. Why is decision-making difficult for people? You don't want to be wrong. Okay. You got to live with the consequences, okay?
There's no consequences.
There are no, wait a second, no. You have to live with somebody who thinks there's no consequences, okay? What else? What's that? Decisions sometimes have to be spontaneous, and that sometimes feel weighty, like I spent the last, it was 11 days in Vegas. Painful 11 days. I wanted to see David Copperfield since I was a little boy. And then I found out the tickets with the fees through Ticketmaster was going to be like $300. I'm like, I don't need to see him that bad. So we're walking down the hall, and I get snagged by a timeshare person. And I've never sat through a timeshare thing, but they said, you want to go to a show? I said, I want to go to David Copperfield, cheap. It was $25. I'm like, okay. So I knew what timeshares were, and I looked at Audrey like, let's go spend 2 hours of our life to do this. And oh my goodness, the pressure is insane. I can't believe what that, I mean, so many times. And they want you to spend, make a $40,000 decision within 2 hours of hearing them. And they tell you so many different ways, and they keep bringing the price down, but you get less benefits. And yeah, spontaneous decision of that magnitude. I told them, I go, I just don't make decisions that fast of this scale. So, sorry, thanks for the tickets, though. Oh, see, I should have been thinking ministry-minded is what you're saying. Yeah. So let me ask you this. As a Christian, so put on your church hat. Why else is it difficult for us to make decisions? What is the common? Go ahead, Matt.
I think one of the common things is people are trying to figure out what God's will is.
Thank you.
So they're going, oh, I don't want to get it wrong. I got to make sure I know what God's will is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. People, how many of us? Go ahead, Andrew. Yes, I love it. So people then argue because, like, well, was that God's will or not? So here's a thing I want you to see. Here's what I think a lot of people think of God's will like when they try to make decisions. That this encompasses God's will, and he's got this little dot that is God's specific plan for Paul's life. And I need to make sure I hit that in my decision. Right? Well, here's what the problem is because when people think that way about, okay, I got to just make sure I'm hitting God's will for my life, my question is, well, is it possible then that what Paul did is outside of God's will and this is what God wanted instead? Or here's another thing I think people think about. Well, this was God's will originally, but you screwed it up, Paul, and so God went on to plan B for your life, and you screwed that up, and this goes on ad infinitum, right? How many have problems with this thinking? But how many of you have actually functioned this way? Like, and how many of you are like, scratch your head like, no, I've never thought this way. I'd just live my life. Donnie, thank you. Right? Why would people... What things make us think this way, like thinking that there's something God's will? I mean, we've got the Bible, this is Sunday school. What is it about the Bible that tells us, that makes you think these things, though, as a Christian?
Mm-hmm. And then, as always, I'm still lamb, nervous to go, which path is the right way. So it's like, if the, this is when you talk about God's will, it's like, if I do the right will, right side, and it really wasn't the right side, then God's like, huh? And he takes you back to this side, you know? So it still is like that for my life, you know, kind of. I'm like, you know, it's like, is it the right path? And this because of this freedom of choice.
Okay, okay, because of freedom of choice.
Yeah. God's like, you know, this is what I recommend. You know, it's your choice. However, you made the wrong choice. I'm still going to get you back on the path.
That's interesting. Donnie?
You got to have willpower.
You got to have willpower.
And
what do you mean by that?
Just like people that smoke, or me that I chew. I mean, if I find that I'm going to quit, and I quit. Not that I want to chew every single day of my life. I told myself I don't want to chew in the morning. I'm not going to do it. You just got to make up your mind and do it.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty awesome. Power there.
I feel like a lot of people come to this conclusion because there's a lot of examples in Scripture where we are given pretty detailed, like, oh, you're not supposed to go to that city. You know, and we have these examples throughout Scripture of like, wow, God's will is pretty precise.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Matt.
Yeah, I think that's also part of it is, like, there's things that we know from God's will, like what Donnie was giving an example of, like, don't do this thing.
Then don't do it.
Don't do it.
Right.
But what about some of those things that aren't as clear, like, should I buy this car or that car?
Right, or the timeshare.
Yeah.
So... What verses in the Bible can you think? Go ahead. Yeah.
Who says you shouldn't or shouldn't buy that car?
I love it.
Who gives you that choice? That's up to you. That's not for anybody else to decide, but for you to decide.
Sure.
You're the one that has to make that decision. Nobody else does.
I agree. I agree fully. So,
I think an example might be better, something like a job. You got two jobs, say they pay about the same amount. Everything's almost identical in it, but there are two different cities to go to. And so you're left with this decision. Like, I can't narrow down one or the other based on a wisdom of finances or a wisdom of this. Like, there's no thing that I can see. But some people have this thought, like, okay, but there's one of them that God would want me to do, and the other one God wouldn't want me to do. Like, there's a He's got a plan for me, which is the right plan.
So, exactly. So this wasn't in my plan. So let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. This is like the verse that's put on all everybody's walls. This is a verse that people use when thinking about decisions, and this is why I think. Is one of the reasons why people get, as Christians, get all hung up in their mind. Jeremiah 29:11, who could quote it? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. They love that verse. So, but what is that verse? I love that verse. But what does that verse tell us? What does it tell us about God? He has plans for us. If he has plans for us, then I want to make sure that when I make my decision, it's somehow in that plan. That's where people get, that's where the rub is, right? Am I wrong? Anybody not feel that tension? No? Okay, good. Yeah, this is the thing. We know that God has plans. What are those plans? How detailed are those plans? How does this work out? And how does it affect my decisions? That's really why we're going to spend a good amount of time thinking through how to make decisions. And before we can actually get into the how do I make decisions, here's the thing. People, we have a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:9 says that we make it our aim to please him. That our life as Christians, I want to please the Father. Just like as a child, I wanted to please my parents most of the time until I wanted something they didn't want, right? But there's still part of me that wanted them to be happy with me. I want to please the Father. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:9 says that is our goal, that whether we're at home or away, we want to please him, that our life should please him. So that frames our decisions as well, doesn't it? Because I know that he's got plans, and I know that I want to make a decision that would please him. So here's the thing, though. When we talk about God's will, that word is a really tricky word in the English language. If you looked up dictionary.com, just look up the word will, you're going to get 8 different definitions, depending on the context. So you could have things like the noun, a will, that someone writes when they die, right? That's in that list. But then you also have the noun version of we have a will, right? My will, my disposition, that's in there. But we're going to look, when you look at the Bible, it really has 2 ways in general of thinking about God's will. And I actually like to break those down into about 4 different ways to be a little more clear. And in order for us to learn how to make decisions, we've got to wrestle with this idea of God's will. What does that mean? How does that affect my decisions? Before we really get much into decision making, we got to understand this thing about God's will first. So it's going to take us some time. And I really want to encourage everybody to keep coming. Tim, keep driving back over from Indiana. We want to work through this together. We will record it, by the way. And get through understanding the foundation of what does God's will mean? How does that have bearing on my life and my decisions? And then talk about how do I make good decisions based on what I know about God's will. So today, we're going to talk about this first aspect. His precepts. This is just one aspect of God's will. So when I talk about his precepts, and this is on your handout there, what I mean by that, these are God's commands. These are God's commands for living in a way that conforms with his character. God is who he is. His character, his attributes make him perfectly holy. And every time you see a command in Scripture, do or do not do, that is a reflection of God's character. We call these commands, I call them his precepts. They're his principles. So let me give you a few examples, just showing you specifically in the Bible what I mean by that. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it actually uses the word will. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's about as clear as it can get, folks. That is a command to abstain, to not be sexually immoral. And right there, God says this is his will. That sense of will is a command. It's a precept that guides your life. Second verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Very clear. Sometimes the Bible is really blatant. Right here, what is the will of God? Well, there it is. Not hard to find. Another one, 1 Peter 1:15 through 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, do you see the word will in there? But do you see how that is the same kind of thing? It's God telling you, this is what I want for your life. So you're not going to be able to open up YouVersion or your Bible app and Google the word will and always find out handy verses like this. But you're going to find verses like this from Genesis to Revelation, right? Very clear verses. And these are verses actually showing us what God wants, what his will is in terms of what he wants. You thought about that? That God has things that he wants. Let me show you verses about showing, about doing what God wants. So Mark 3:35, Jesus says, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now, do you think when Jesus says this, he's talking about God has this secret plan in my life, and if you do whatever that secret plan is, that's what he's talking about there? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Jesus is simply saying, if you do what I want you to do, those are the people that are my family. Does that make sense? Second verse, Ephesians 6:6. This one has will in it too. Right in the middle of the sentence, not by way, talking about how we should work for our employers, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So here again, God tells us, here's what I want for you. Here's what I want for you. Another verse, Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Again, he's not saying so that when you've walked that magic road that I've planned for you, you will have received what you promised. No, he's saying when you've done what I want you to do, and he tells us what he wants in forms of precepts, commands. Last one, 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away along with its desire, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So, the big question we have is, in this aspect of God's will, his precepts, what do these precepts cover? If we could have like an umbrella called his precepts, what things fall underneath that? And I think we tend to think of the Bible almost like a topical encyclopedia, almost like a Wikipedia that you Google buying a car, right? Like who to marry, right? It doesn't work that way. The Bible is a story, right? 66 stories woven into one big story, a meta-narrative that tells us about the will of God and the plan for history. But through that, we see that these precepts show us what he wants for our life. God tells us what he wants, and they're more than just do's and don'ts. Like, we saw right here, these are do's, specific things. Give thanks, avoid sexual immorality, be holy. Those are examples, but his precepts are more than just do's and don'ts. You'll see that they show us what our goals and attitudes, actions, and perspectives should be. So let me, do I have these as hand up here? Yeah. So first of all, if we think about the umbrella, his precepts tell us what our goals in life should be. For example, I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:9. We make it our aim, our goal, to please him. So you have examples where precepts talk about our goals in life. It covers our attitudes. His precepts address our attitudes. For example, it tells us to be humble. He tells us to be thankful. He tells us to be joyful. He tells us to be kind. So his precepts cover our attitudes. His precepts also tell us what our actions in life should be or not be. For example, love one another, do not defraud one another, flee sexual immorality. So his precepts tell us what our goals in life should be. His precepts tell us what our attitudes in life should be. His precepts tell us what to do or not to do. And then his precepts also give us a perspective in life. They tell us what our view on life should be. In other words, it gives us a worldview. For example, it says in 1 John that the world is passing away with its lusts, and that we tells us in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness. That's still his precepts, and yet they're forming our worldview. So think about this. If his precepts cover our goals in life, his precepts cover our attitudes, his precepts cover our actions, and his precepts cover our worldview, what else in life is there left to cover? What else in life is there besides goals, attitudes, actions, and your worldview? Therefore, his precepts, i.e. his word, is sufficient for every good work. If his precepts cover our actions, our goals, our attitudes, and our worldview, that means there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that the Bible does not address in this world for us. Which is why Paul can say this in 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and useful, profitable, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So in other words, his precepts will address every aspect of life. And we can see, now what do I mean by his will? That's just one aspect, is his will talks about these, this broad set of things, right? So just quickly in closing, what can we say about this aspect of his will and our decisions? First of all, just real quick in those bullets there, God has revealed to us what he wants for us in our Bible. That's important. God has told you what he wants for you right here. It's hard to miss it. Second thing, they're expressed perfectly in the Bible, right? That's really important. We just came through a long series on the LGBT controversy, and those people make it sound like the Bible's not clear. God has made his will, his precepts, very clear, perfectly clear, as according to this scripture here in the Bible. Thirdly, these things are clearly what God wants us to do and be. God's precepts tell us what he wants us to do and what he wants us to be. In my mind, there really isn't a question of how should I live. It's been revealed to me. It's been revealed to you. You open it up, he tells you how you should live. And finally, there's not one area of life that you cannot find precepts that apply to that area of life. It's as much as even my clothes I put on today, there are precepts that apply to even my clothes I picked out, whether I bought them, how I bought them. There are God's precepts that apply to every area of life. That was really fast. Next week, we're going to jump into his plans. So we've got his precepts and then his plans. That's one aspect of his will. After that, we're going to talk about two other pieces. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that it is sufficient for our entire life, that you can guide us into understanding your wisdom and your thoughts about what you want us to do and who you want us to be in your word. You've not left us groping around in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.